non la...
Good morning. It's time to begin our worship. Please silence your cell phones and prepare for worship while we enjoy the prelude. Good morning again, and welcome. What a beautiful day. It seems spring may finally be taking hold. I hope I didn't just jinx it. Please register your attendance on the registration sheet in the pews, share it with others, and pass it back to the center aisle. Make sure you look through the calendar of events in your bulletin. Oh, some things to take note of are the summer lawn care sign-up sheet. It's out on the bulletin board. Please sign up for a week or month during the summer to mow and trim the yard. We'd like to start in May, weather permitting. Cal will give anyone lessons on how to drive a lawnmower. If you're worried you've missed out, I just checked. There's plenty of opportunity. So, the crop walk is next Sunday, April 28th at the Tate Pump House. Registration's at 1 p.m. with the walk at 1:30. If you're interested, please contact Keith Rouse or Debbie Mestis. You can register online if that's easier for you. Or I think you can register the day of the event. Rising from the Ashes women's event is at King's Corner next Saturday from 8:30 to noon. Diane Lynn is speaking. They ask for $5 or canned food donation. It's requested. It's sponsored by the First United Methodist Church. Cata Court, Ladies of the Oriental Shrine, there's a luncheon style show April 28th at noon downstairs in Fellowship Hall. Come for a great lunch. See Spring Fashions from Fashion Crossroads. Tickets are $10. Contact Linda Kaiser. I think her phone number's there in the bulletin if you need it. There's a youth programming meeting next Sunday following worship to help determine the direction of the youth programming here at FCC for youth grades 6 to 12, their parents, and anyone who might be interested in youth programming. If you have a child in grades 6 through 12, you're invited to attend, or if there's someone interested in working with the youth, please plan on attending. There'll be a light lunch. The 2018 Men's Conference be held at the YMCA of the Rockies in Estes Park, Friday, May 18th through Sunday, May 20th. Registration information is found online at the regional website. Got to get your registration in by April 27th, which is coming up pretty quickly. A pianist, Lonnie and Kathy, will complete their time as fill-in pianists on Sunday, May 27th. If anyone would be willing to play hymns for the 1010 worship service, please contact Amber French. There's a sign-up sheet posted out on the bulletin board for those interested in providing any special music during the summer. Everyone's welcome. All ages, stages, and instruments are invited to sign up. Graduation Sunday and presentation of Bibles to the second graders will be on Sunday, May 13th. If you have a graduate, please send the names to the church office by Monday, May 7th. Are there any other announcements? Okay. Next Saturday. I probably did say that wrong. I apologize. Well, let's stand now and greet those around you. We'll continue our worship by singing All Things Bright and Beautiful. It's located on page 61 in your hymn, but let's stand and greet each other first. Thank you. please join me in the call to worship with the responsive reading in the bulletin. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd.
So we are Jesus' sheep.
Yes, we are lambs of God's flock, sheep of Christ's pasture.
So when he calls us, we're supposed to follow.
Yes, we really are. Come, let us worship the great I am.
Come, let us follow Christ, the good shepherd, the Lamb of God.
Please pray with me. Loving and gracious God, may you mold us and use us so that we may be reformed in such a way that our lives will never be the same. Infuse a sense of mystery that keeps us wanting more. Fill this room with your presence, we ask in your name. Hear us now as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
May be seated. Our hymn of praise today is This Is My Father's World. On page 59 in the hymnal, we'll sing the first two verses. The children are invited to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. Good morning. Come have a seat. Good morning. It's so nice to see all of you here today. What do you have? Are they flowers? They're spoons for food. And you made them yourself? I am so impressed. They are spoons for food made out of aluminum foil. That is really cool. Just foil. Okay. I won't call it aluminum. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
I thought that maybe they were flowers because this morning I'm going to talk about a flower. Can you see on the table behind me right here? There's one little rosebud in a vase. One of the traditions of our congregation, a tradition is something that you do over and over again at special times. One of our traditions is when there's a new baby born to a family in the church, we have a rosebud on the table for worship. And if you look real closely at that rosebud, you'll see that the flower is real tight. It's kind of small. And as the days go ahead, the flower is going to open up and those petals will spread. And it represents how when we are born, we're real small. We're tiny, like a little rosebud.
Like this.
Like that. That's right. But with God's love, we grow and we get bigger and we open up and we learn all kinds of wonderful things. So this morning, we have a rosebud in worship in honor of Natalie Ryan Grooms, who was born this week. And her big sister, Mackenzie, is with us today with Grandma and Grandpa. Mommy and Daddy are home with a new baby, getting some good rest. And in a few weeks, we'll look forward to getting to know Natalie and getting to meet her in worship. There's also a sheep on the table behind us. Because this morning during the sermon, I'm going to talk about the Good Shepherd and how Jesus is like a shepherd. And a shepherd takes care of his sheep. And Jesus takes care of us. We're his flock. And if you look in the stained glass window, there's a picture of Jesus holding a sheep and guiding the other sheep. And God is like that for us through Jesus. He holds us in his love and guides us through life. Are these for me to keep? Thank you for my spoons. I feel very honored. For food, spoons for food. Thank you so much. Let's close with a prayer today. I can put it in here.
And then you could eat it when you're hungry.
Okay, I'll use it later when I'm hungry. Okay, thank you. Let's close with prayer today. Dear Jesus, thank you for being our shepherd, our guide, our friend.
And our family.
And our family. Dear Jesus, thank you for protecting us, for giving us food to eat and placing us in a beautiful world where flowers bloom and grow.
And giving us places to stay for the night.
And giving us places to stay for the night. Dear God, please bless Natalie and her family this week.
And her little baby.
The little baby. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen.
Amen.
And you all can go to Worship and Wonder in Sunday School today or sit with your families. I have never received spoons in worship before. It is a nice gift. Our list of prayer concerns is on the back of the bulletin. Our card shower today is for the groom's family. We rejoice with Maggie and Nicholas, with big sister Mackenzie, with grandparents Ted and Jennifer, with aunt and uncle Dennis and Judy Baker, with all of the family. It is a joy to celebrate that Natalie Ryan Grooms was born April 18th, just after noon, 8 pounds, 4 ounces, 21 inches. She is healthy, is eating well, is already wearing out mom and dad, so prayers of strength for them as they keep up with little Natalie and big sister Mackenzie. I encourage you to take out a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. You might send a note to the groom's family or someone else on our prayer list and let them know that we're thinking about them today. There are several individuals connected with our congregation whom we continue to hold in prayer because they are living with cancer. Prayers for each and every one and for their families. Among those on our list of health and other concerns, we continue to pray for Elaine Umbach, for Carol Sage. She is doing well after having both knees replaced. We pray for Patrick Braley, who suffered a brain injury, and for June Bredemeyer, who has been at Elkhorn following a fall. I believe she might be moving to Poplar Living Center, to Life Care. So June will be in life care for a while to have some assistance. So prayers for her. Our community and world concerns today include continued prayers for the people of Syria and for Elena Weigel, who serves as a missionary in Chile. Our prayer partners are Reverend Teresa Hoard Owens and the Office of General Minister and President's Staff of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign. Pastor Terry, our general minister, she's kind of like the Pope for the disciples, the head of our entire denomination in the United States and Canada. She will be coming to Casper in September. She will be the keynote speaker at the regional assembly at Fall Feast that we are hosting here at First Christian Church. So it will be a special privilege to meet her then. I encourage you to hold her and all of her staff in prayer. Are there others today that we want to lift up in prayer, concerns or joys to share? Paul.
I would like us to pray for Dr. Badger, who now lives in Estes Park in Colorado, to be able to find for himself a car that is inexpensive and works.
Prayers for Dr. Badger. He's looking for a new running automobile. Prayers for Bryant in Estes Park. Madison. Prayers for patience for Madison as she makes some lifestyle changes and adjustments to deal with a condition in her liver, with other health concerns that she has had. Madison, we continue to pray for you and pray for patience for you as you learn to live in a healthy way within the limitations of your body. Amber.
My friend Bob.
Bob Hooker, who lives in Laramie, who has pancreatic cancer. Raul.
Yeah, I just want to pray for my daughter. It's her birthday today. She's turned 20. She's no longer a teenager. And I just want to place her bed and love her. She's a big dad proud. She graduated from high school. And she's still down full time. She's been a job.
Praise the Lord. What is her name?
Nikita.
Prayers for a beloved daughter who turns 20 today, rejoicing with her life journey as it unfolds. Debbie.
I just want to share with Debbie, we made 8 blankets yesterday to add to our numbers, and if anybody knows of somebody who could use a blanket, so please let me know.
It is a joy that the Blanket Ministry completed an additional 8 blankets yesterday. These are given away free of charge, either to those who need them for physical warmth, to the homeless, to low-income families, to those who are struggling when it is cold, and also as a sign of comfort when people are in a time of crisis. So please let Debbie know if you are aware of an individual who needs a blanket. Paul.
Prayers of gratitude for 2 of our members, the Johnson boys. We have both been involved in the Reagan days, Casper College hosting the regional rodeo this weekend, and they're Gene Johnson's great-grandsons. Her grandson, Jet, is the coach for the Casper College team.
Prayers of rejoicing for the Johnson family, for the success they've had in the weekend rodeo, and for the work they continue to do in our community. Bob. Thank you very much. It is a comfort for me to know the prayers of this congregation and many friends are with my family. My sister and I Skyped yesterday to plan Dad's service, which will be May 5th, and it is a privilege for us to celebrate the life of such a great man. Let us turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. O good and gracious God, We know you as the great creator who made this beautiful world that we call home, this planet Earth, and all the plants and animals that live upon it are signs of your glory. A closer reminder of your beauty stretched across the vastness of the heavens. We know you as creator, and we give thanks for the gift of creation, confessing the ways in which we have failed to care for the world you have made, and being humbled to continue to answer your call to live as stewards of the earth. O great and gentle God, we know you as loving parent, our heavenly Father, our friend, our beloved maker, our family. We thank you, O Creator God, for adopting us as your own children through Jesus Christ, your Son, our eldest brother. We thank you, God, for the gift of family, for biological families in this world, for families who raise us as children, as siblings, who teach us what it means to love. We thank you for the church family and for other communities of which we are part. We pray this day, Lord, for your blessing upon members of our family who need your healing hand and your abundant blessings. We rejoice at the addition of Natalie becoming a member of our church family, as well as a part of the groom's family. Lord, we pray your blessing upon her young life. Bless her with health and strength. We know you have already surrounded her with love, and we pray for patience and wisdom for her parents, Maggie and Nicholas, in the years to come, as they teach her much about life, including sharing their love of you. Lord, we pray for Raul today as he rejoices with his daughter, Nikita. We pray a blessing for her upon her 20th birthday as she ventures forth, leaving behind the teenage years. Having completed high school and now finding work, she is making her way into the world. Lord, we pray your blessing upon this young woman, that she would grow into adulthood with strength and grace. Oh God, we pray for one of our own, for Dr. Badger. We ask your blessing upon him and his life in Estes Park, that you would meet all the needs that he may have, including a need for transportation. God, we pray that you would bless him with patience, with wisdom, with peace. We pray for patience for Madison Rouse as she makes adjustments in her life. Lord, we pray specifically that you help her find food that she can eat that is healthy and that does not have any negative impact on her body. We pray for those times when she strives to exercise, to rest, to balance the demands of life. Lord, we pray that you would give her strength in body and spirit and mind. Help her to be patient with herself as she continues to work through health challenges. We pray for Amber's friend, Bob Hooker, diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. God, we pray for his healing, for your blessing upon his life each and every day. We rejoice with the Johnson family, the success that Jean's grandsons and great-grandsons have in rodeo and in life. May they continue to use the skill that you have blessed them with, which they have developed through years of hard work. Oh God, we know you as the head of our family, as our parent who loves us always. We pray your blessing upon those who have lost their parents, who grieve and mourn. I thank you, God, for the spiritual strength that you are giving to my family as we prepare to celebrate the life of Tommy Dobson. God, as well as being our creator and our parent, we know you in many other ways. We know you through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who called himself the Good Shepherd. For those times, O Christ, when you call us to shepherd one another, may your love shine through our lives, that we are all guided together on your path of righteous living. We pray your blessing, Holy One, upon the blankets that were made yesterday and upon the individuals and families that will receive them. May they be a sign of comfort and grace. Oh God, we know you in so many ways, and we know that you are known and loved around the world. And so we pray your blessing not just on those near to us, but those whom we may never meet personally, who know and love and serve you. Oh God, we ask your blessing upon Elena Weigel and the work that she does in Chile. We pray for people in Syria, especially for children. We pray for Teresa Horde Owens and the work she does as our general minister and president. Oh God, there are other prayers that we bring to you today which we have not named aloud. But because we know you as Spirit, as life incarnate, we pray with confidence for those prayers lifted even in the silence of our hearts, that you would see and hear and respond. In Christ's name, amen.
As disciples, it's our tradition to invite all followers of Jesus Christ to join in the celebration of Holy Communion. It's just one way to celebrate our given unity in Jesus and his church. As we gather at the table, we remember that Jesus, our Good Shepherd, did indeed lay down his life to save us. Let's sing hymn number 53, Morning Has Broken, as we prepare for communion.
Each day, as the earth turns and the sun rises, God recreates a new day. Each Sunday, as we gather here as people of faith, God recreates us in his own image. When we come to the table as followers of Christ, Like him, we too are broken. We remember the night when he met with his friends and took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the blood of the new covenant, we are recreated as God's people, reformed together to be one in the body of Christ. At that Passover feast, Jesus took the cup and poured it out and passed it among his disciples, saying to them, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray."
Your earth awakens on this very beautiful spring day. We give thanks that you are our very loving creator. John reminds us that you love the world so very much that you want your own son and gave your own son, Jesus, to this world to love us, to teach us how to love, and ultimately to die for us. As we gather near this table this morning, we are reminded of the sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf, that we might find new life and new hope and be reconciled to you. Now, as we prepare to participate in this moment of Holy Communion, we pray that our hearts and our lives may be open to your very presence. We pray in Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
Church, which honors pulpit guests with the gift of a small wall cross. It's engraved with beautiful vines and the words, "I am the vine, you are the branches." The same symbol is prominent in the chancel of the church. For the guest, it's a symbol that says, once you've worshiped with us, you are forever a part of us. In essence, you've been claimed and sent out to bear fruit by that community of faith. Honestly, it's an unusual tradition. But imagine if everyone who walked into worship here was somehow sent the message, because you have been a part of us, we will never be the same, so you are a part of us. It would be as though each person somehow mystically left a piece of themselves and claimed a piece of God. I think when we give, we do just that. We leave a piece of ourselves and are given a connection to the ministries that we've supported. Come, claim a piece of this church and all it stands for as we offer our tithes and offerings. The diaconate will now receive your tithes and offerings. We give thanks, O Lord, for all the blessings of life. Receive now these tithes and offerings as a sign of the gratitude in our hearts. Amen. Thank you to the choir. That was beautiful. Would you please join me in the responsive reading of Psalm 23 on page 734 of your hymnal? We will, when we sing the response, we'll sing the first response in there. Everywhere there's a, in your hymnal, everywhere there's a R, we'll sing the first response. We'll start out by singing the response, I believe. Is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul.
He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. Prepare a table before me in my presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Our second reading today comes from the New Testament Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. In your pew Bible, you'll find it in the New Testament section on page 103. John 10, beginning at verse 11. Jesus is speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, and Anne and Kathy both, for all the wonderful music today celebrating the beauty of creation in which we live. Will you pray with me? Oh, Jesus, our good shepherd, we confess to you that sometimes as your sheep, we live scattered lives. Help us in these moments to hear again your voice, calling that we might follow you. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. In the Greek, the word that we translate into English as good has layers of meaning, kalos. There are other words in Greek that could also mean good, but this word means perfect, ideal, model, good beyond good. Jesus is saying, not, I'm an okay shepherd, but I am the best shepherd you will ever No, I am the good shepherd. The context of John 10 comes right after John 9 when there's been an encounter with the Pharisees. Jesus healed a man who had been born blind. He restored his sight. And there's interesting conversation that follows after that miracle, some doubting the power of Jesus, some questioning whether or not the man was born in sin and that's why he was blind. The debate has raged on. In that context, Jesus is set apart from the religious leaders of his day. It is as if he is comparing them to hired hands, who are paid to take care of the people, but they don't ultimately care for the people with the same depth of passion and love as God the Father and Jesus the Son show us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For those of us who already know Jesus as the Christ, our crucified and risen Lord, these words resonate so clearly. Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus laid down his life and took it up again. That the burden, the price of our sins has already been paid, and we can take up life to live it fully and to be at peace in eternity with him. These words may have been heard a bit differently by the folks to whom Jesus was speaking. You see, at that point, he hadn't yet laid down his life. He hadn't gone to the cross. He hadn't been raised. So when he said, I am the good shepherd, they were probably actually thinking about shepherds. You know, people who take care of sheep. Living in Wyoming, there are a few members of our congregation who have family connections with sheep ranchers, who in previous generations had kin who made their living tending for sheep. They might have a better advantage in hearing this story in the same way that Jesus' first hearers heard it. When Jesus said, I am the shepherd, the folks he was talking to got it immediately. They knew who shepherds were. In fact, in that cultural context, they knew that sometimes shepherds didn't have a very good reputation. They were kind of on a social par with, let's see, in our day and age, maybe used car salesmen. People that you needed, but maybe you didn't always trust. Some of the shepherds, those who were hired hands, did it because, well, it was a job. It put food on their table. And some of those folks might have had a reputation for every now and then just accidentally culling the flock a little bit. And my goodness, they had fresh lamb for supper, but told the boss, oh, it was a wolf, I'm so sorry. Jesus is setting himself apart from that kind of shepherd, indicating that he is the good shepherd, the best shepherd, the one who can be trusted to care for the flock as if it is his own. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. This statement of Jesus comes immediately after, in John's gospel, another I am statement. Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Throughout John's gospel, there are numerous times when Jesus makes these I am statements. I am the gate. I am the shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the vine, and you are the branches. The I am statements of Jesus tie him clearly, theologically, into the tradition we have inherited from the days of Moses and Abraham, when God was revealed to be the great I am, the one who is, the one who creates life itself. I am, Jesus is saying, part of the great I am. And then in each of these statements, I am the gate, I am the shepherd, I am the light, he reveals a little more of that mysterious nature of God, which ultimately is beyond our complete knowing. We gain glimpses into the nature of God in Christ. And in doing so, we come to understand ourselves better as well. For who we are is defined by the relationships in which we live. You are son or daughter. You are sibling or spouse or parent or friend. You are part of a family and a community. Those relationships help define and reveal who you are. Who we are as Christians is rooted in our relationship with Jesus Christ. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, inherently he is saying, implying the second half of the equation, and you are my sheep. So as sheep, what are we expected to do? Well, for starters, we're expected to follow the shepherd. We're expected to know who he is, to know his voice, to hear him call us by name. In ancient Palestine, in those days when Jesus of Nazareth walked and talked, the practice of shepherding was a wilderness sport, if you will. Shepherds lived often outside of the villages up in the hills. The region was fairly arid, and oftentimes the sheep were kept in wilderness pens. During the day, they would be free to graze on the hillside, finding grass and feed when they could. But at night, for their protection, the shepherds would call. And the flock would come and be gathered into a pen, sometimes built a circular enclosure made of stones, a low stone wall. Just enough protection to keep predators at bay as long as the shepherd was there with a watchful eye. Oftentimes, those pens had no gate. There was a simple opening. The sheep would go in, and then the shepherd himself became the gate. Once all the sheep were herded in, the shepherd blocked the way out so that the sheep could stay safe. And if there weren't hired hands to help, and it was only one shepherd caring for his or her flock, at night the shepherd would lay down and sleep in that opening. So that the sheep, even if they became restless and decided to try to bolt, they couldn't get out without waking the shepherd. Kind of like camp counselors who have a rowdy cabin full of kids and they move their bunk by the door, just in case. The shepherd is the gate, is the one who both calls and leads and guards and protects. So as sheep, we know that we are called by Jesus to follow him. We also know that we are enclosed by his love, protected by God's care, hemmed in, surrounded by the Lord's love when we know the good shepherd. When we know Jesus as our Lord and shepherd, we hear his voice calling us to bear his own image and to the world, to do the things the shepherd would do, to feed the hungry, to care for the lost and alone, to heal the sick. Because we follow the Good Shepherd, we reveal God's love in the same way that he did when he was in the world, by seeking his path. On Thursday, I drove from Casper up to Sheridan for an all-day continuing ed event. And on the road, on I-25, between here and there, there are still places where sheep are raised. The flocks were out. It was a pleasant enough day for a Wyoming spring when it's 70 one day and snowing the next. During my drive, I watched the sheep on the hillsides wandering free, knowing that they were protected. They were ultimately fenced in at the edge of the sheep rancher's property, and they would be cared for. Someone would tend them. If those sheep became ill, someone would come to care for them. My drive up and my drive back, I continued glancing out at the Wyoming landscape, and there are certain places where it's apparent when feeding time comes, whether for sheep or cattle or other livestock, when feeding time comes, all the flock, all the herd knows to gather in one place. There are places when you drive across Wyoming's sparse landscape that you can tell there are trails that animals have followed, sometimes for generations. Sometimes in the forest, it's a wild game trail that the deer have taken from one generation to the next. Sometimes on a cattle ranch, it's a path worn down by hooves when the cows follow each other towards a bale of hay. It's as if there are all these multiple different trails converging. The trail gets more and more narrow, sometimes even a deep rut. It makes me think of another feature of the Wyoming landscape, the trail ruts left by wagons on the Oregon Trail headed west. There are places in our state where you can see even grooves carved down into stone itself. When the wagon trains would converge from different destinations headed west, there were few passes. And so, though multiple trails might start out in Missouri or other places back east, by the time they were ready to cross the Continental Divide, those trails merged into single-point crossings and left grooves on the landscape. Part of the gift of Christianity in our world is that through the ages, in different ways, from different starting points, people have followed Jesus long enough and often enough that we have made some spiritual grooves in the world. There are certain characteristics honored in multiple societies that are related to that groove of sheep following Jesus Christ. It is held in high esteem for people to speak the truth and not lie. It is held in high esteem for people to not steal and take what belongs to others, but to work for your way in the world. It is held in truth to cherish life itself. In almost any society, there's a fundamental rule. You don't kill. You certainly don't kill for no reason at all. You care for one another. Those key aspects of communal living are part of the pattern of spiritual feet following the path of God's teaching, as if we have made a spiritual rut in the world, headed towards Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. It's easy for us when we walk that path in a certain way as Christian believers to become convinced that others should join us on the path, and praise the Lord when they do. But John 10:16 reminds us that we are not the ones who determine the path of the sheep. It is the shepherd. Jesus says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Jesus, the good shepherd, reminds us that God is the one who calls people. And we help each other to find the way, but we have to trust that Jesus knows the way people need to find God's love. And sometimes their path may look different than ours. Their rut or their groove might be different than ours. The music they sing might be different than ours. The tradition they follow might be different than ours. It's possible that even the faith they proclaim is somehow different than ours, and yet God still calls. And Jesus' love is so expansive that even sheep who haven't found their way into the fold yet are still loved and called by the good shepherd. So we're reminded in John's gospel that it's not up to us to block that gate, to define who's in and who's out. Jesus is the one who is the gate, the shepherd, and the way. This is such a beautiful image for us to hold on to, that Jesus is the good shepherd, the perfect shepherd, the model beloved Kalos shepherd. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. When we are working too hard because we think it's all up to us, Jesus' gentle voice comes and reminds us to rest. He makes us to drink of waters that run still and deep. When we expend ourselves in so many ways that we near exhaustion, Jesus calls us to drink of the living water of God's love. And when life causes us to wander through that darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, even there, Jesus is with us. The beautiful poetry of the 23rd Psalm is often shared at funerals. And I think a common interpretation is often to think that when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death means when I'm walking towards death itself, when I think I'm going to die, Jesus is there with me. And that is indeed a beautiful, comforting, powerful message. But the same is true of everyone else nearby. You see, the valley, the shadow of death, has shadows that stretch far out onto the plains, and no single human being goes without ever being touched by it. It may be that when you most need the comforting presence of Christ is not when you face your own death, but when you face the death of another, one whom you love. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of my father's death, I am not alone, for the Lord is there with me. The rod and the staff of Jesus direct me to just keep moving a little at a time, because the green pastures are ahead, the deep, still water that nourishes my soul is yet to be found again. And so I know the same is true for you. When you walk through the valley of the darkest shadow, the good shepherd is there. It's interesting how it's in those most narrow places of life that the ruts become deepest. Because there comes a point in your life where you can do nothing but put one foot ahead of the other and keep going. When you're a young parent and you're utterly exhausted, you still feed your baby. When you're a spouse who's a caregiver, you still give love. Those places in life where we are this close to giving up hope are the places where the path ahead of us has been worn down already by others who have made this journey and who share good news with us that death is not the end. Despair is overshadowed by hope. Life continues on, and so we keep going. Because when we ultimately do drop in exhaustion, Jesus, our loving shepherd, reaches down and scoops us up as easily as if we were a baby lamb and carries us forward when we cannot carry ourselves. That is part of the gift of church. We become for one another Jesus. When individually we think we can't make it anymore, that dear friend sitting shoulder to shoulder with us in the pew prays us through, sometimes without even knowing it. And Jesus, the good shepherd, whose body is revealed in the flock as a whole, becomes once again the sacrificial lamb of God who is laid down to take away the sins of the world and then whose life is lifted up again in resurrection. This week, my friends, some of you may be walking through a dark valley and some of you may be rejoicing at a banquet feast shared even with enemies whom God loves and places before you. Wherever you are on your life's journey, may you continue to follow the Good Shepherd and to hear his voice calling you as a beloved child of God. For this reason, Jesus says, "The Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Jesus himself, the best shepherd, has given himself for you. May you rejoice now and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn today is "For the Beauty of the Earth," number 56. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5. If there's anyone here today who's looking for a church home, we welcome you here at First Christian, either by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. If there's anyone here who has never fully followed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Shepherd, and you're moved to do so today, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.
Thank you.
would remind you that next Saturday is the crop walk. I hope everyone can either come out and participate or offer a gift of support in some way. There are refreshments for us downstairs today. The coffee pot is on, and there's something cold to drink as well. I'd encourage you to stay for a few minutes after worship. Make your way down the stairs to Fellowship Hall and visit with someone else this morning. Share with them God's love before you head out for your week. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our Good Shepherd, shepherd our lives this week. Guide us in the path you would have us to follow. May we trust in you as we take one step at a time each and every day to answer your voice. Amen.